Since 2008, he's been in charge of the Vatican's Supreme Court of sorts, the Apostolic Signatura, and soon he'll be one of 24 new cardinals to be created in the Vatican by Pope Benedict November 20th. 62-year-old Raymond Leo Burke was the Archbishop of St. Louis and earlier the Bishop of La Crosse, Wisconsin, before Pope Benedict appointed him head of the Signatura. A canon lawyer, the cardinal designate, worked for the Vatican Tribunal from 1989 to 1994 and was named a member of the body in 2006. He has also served on the Roman Rota, the Church's central appeals court. In this, the first of a two-part interview, I spoke to him about his life and his career, beginning with his elevation to cardinal. An exciting time, to say the least. Let's listen.
It certainly is. I'm very grateful to our Holy Father for the confidence that he has placed in me, and only am praying that I will be equal to what he needs for me.
So I'd like to kind of look back at perhaps what might be one of the most important moments of your life, and that was the moment that you became a priest. Did you have a light bulb moment where you just had a flash and you said, oh, I'm going to become a priest?
No, I never really did. From the time I was small, I was quite attracted to the priesthood. I came from a good Catholic family where the practice of our faith was very important, and my parents were very close to the parish priest, who was actually a native of Ireland, but he had been our parish priest for many years. And so from the time I was small, even like in first and second grade, I would talk about it. And then when I began to serve Holy Mass when I was in fourth grade, the attraction became ever stronger because I was so close to the most important activity of the priest, namely the offering of the Mass. In my home diocese of La Crosse in Wisconsin, we had a minor seminary, so when I finished eighth grade, I was 14 years old, I entered our minor seminary, and that was a very positive experience. And over the years, I continued in the seminary, growing ever more in my desire to be a priest. Not that I didn't think of doing other things, and certainly during the late 60s and early 70s, which were my last years in college and the years of theology, there was a lot of turmoil in the seminary, and which naturally raised questions. But the Lord gave me the grace to persevere, and so in 1975, I presented myself to the bishop, having completed my seminary studies here in Rome for ordination, and was ordained a priest. And I have to say that it's a great gift that God has given to me, for which I remain always grateful.
Can I ask, when you said there was some turmoil in the seminary, was that the period of the Vietnam War, and there was a lot of controversy, a lot of protests going on at that time?
Yes, well, I suppose 1968 is the symbolic year of the Paris student riots, but that whole rebellion against authority entered into the seminary too, and in an unfortunate coincidence, coincided with the implementation of the reforms of the Second Vatican Council. And what happened, in my judgment, was more of this rebellion of authority got involved than the actual reading and studying of the documents of the council and following them. And so they're simply, I remember from one year to the next, the discipline in the seminary practically evaporated. And you can imagine that in the whole atmosphere of the times that there was turmoil. That's the long and short of it.
And if we go a little bit farther back, I mean, was there a moment in your childhood that you'd say that some sort of an anecdote of an incident in your childhood that maybe changed the course of your life?
Probably had the greatest influence on me. When I was 7 years old, my father became very ill and was eventually diagnosed with a brain tumor. And he died when I was 8 years old in July of 1956. And that obviously was a very difficult time for the whole family. I'm the youngest of six children, and my mother remained very strong, but through the whole illness and still trying to take care of us children, it was a big challenge. But what made a lasting impression on me was that in those days when people were seriously ill, they were at home more. And the priest would come frequently to hear my father's confession and to bring him Holy Communion. And when the priest came, we would go to the door and meet him with a lighted candle. And everyone kept silence because we were in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. He would come into my father's room and first everyone would leave the room and he would hear my father's confession. And then he would give him Holy Communion. And I saw how this was sustaining my father very much and how also it gave me so much comfort. And then the priest afterwards would come and sit down and visit with us children, and in his own very fatherly way would try to get our minds off of the illness of our father and to entertain us with stories about Ireland and so forth. And that simply made a very, very deep impression upon me. Now, I would think that's probably one of the most significant events in my childhood with regard to my priestly vocation.
And then what made you decide to go into canon law, to study canon law?
I actually didn't decide. My bishop decided it. When I was studying philosophy and theology, I enjoyed my studies very much, and actually I had hoped one day to do graduate studies in theology. I did do a fourth year of seminary studies, which were graduate studies, but then the bishop asked me to come home to begin work in the diocese. Our diocese was very short of priests in those years, and so I did. I returned home, and I worked in the parish, and then I also, for the last 3 years that I was in the cathedral parish as assistant rector, I also taught in the high school. And at the end of the fifth year, 5 years in the parish and 3 years teaching, the bishop called me, I remember very well, on Holy Thursday afternoon and told me that he was reassigning me in the fall to graduate studies in canon law at the Gregorian University. And that was his decision. In fact, in a way that was really rather impertinent, I questioned him about it, not in a disrespect way. I thanked him first, and then I said I wondered if maybe I should continue teaching for a while longer. And I always remember what he said to me. He said, "I didn't think I was asking you." That was an important lesson in obedience. In other words, the bishop was calling me and giving me an assignment, and the response on my part should have been, "Yes, bishop, I'll do that." And I did it, and I have to say that when I first began studying canon law, there wasn't a great deal of enthusiasm about it. It wasn't, in my years in the seminary, the teaching of canon law was very sparse, and it was that whole period between the two codes, and also if the rebelliousness of the late 60s and early 70s can be seen anywhere, it can certainly be seen in a kind of disregard and disdain for canon law. I have to say I never disdained it, but I certainly didn't. There weren't a lot of examples of a great esteem for canon law. But thanks be to God, when I arrived at the Gregorian University, there were some wonderful professors, and one in particular became a mentor of mine. And with time, I began to really understand the importance of canon law and to enter very deeply into the study. And I'm very happy to this day that the bishop made that decision, even if at the time it didn't appear to me to be what I really wanted to do.
So you think it was rather providential in a way?
I do. I have to say that about my whole priestly life, and I don't mean this in some kind of pietistic way, but I've tried since that time to always do whatever the bishop asked, and I have to say that I have never been unhappy, and I've seen so much providence in all of the different assignments which I've had, none of which I must say I could have foreseen when I was in the seminary.
But you must miss teaching a bit.
I do. I enjoyed teaching very much. I come from a family of teachers. My mother was a teacher, and I love teaching very much, and that was probably one of the hardest things to give up when I came to do the studies in canon law, and even now returning to Rome as prefect of the Apostolic Signatura, I don't have those normal occasions to teach the faithful that I would have had as a diocesan bishop. So we learn in the priestly life, as all members of the faithful learn in whatever their vocation, that sometimes you have to give up good things in order to do what you're asked.
Do you feel like you've been called here for some reason, a specific reason? Sometimes I feel that there's, you know, our destiny is really sometimes laid out for us.
Well, I see my call as being prefect of the Supreme Tribunal of the Apostolic Signatura. It's a work for which I was prepared through my studies and through my experience. I had served in the Signatura from 1989 until 1995, and so the Holy Father called me here. In one way, it was a surprise because of the gravity of the responsibility of being prefect. But in another way, I understand that it's a work that I can do, and the Holy Father's asking me to do, and I'm happy to do it.
You are obviously a very busy man. Like you said, you're the prefect of the Apostolic Signatura, but you're also with the Congregation for Bishops and the Congregation for the Causes of Saints. So it seems like you're constantly being asked to discern what is best for the Church and who you think are the best models, role models for the faithful. What would you say are the challenges that these various positions pose for you?
Well, both the Congregation for Bishops and the Congregation for Causes of Saints are, being a member of those congregations is a major responsibility. I feel it especially strongly in the Congregation for Bishops, which were asked to study extensive documentation on each candidate who was being proposed for appointment as a bishop, and that we have to give our judgment in the matter. Clearly, the Holy Father's judgment is what makes the bishop, but he looks to us who are the members of the congregation to give him wise counsel. And when you consider that a bishop is going to be a shepherd of a numerous flock, it's going to have responsibility for so many souls, you have a very strong sense of needing to do your very best to study these documents very carefully and to give the Holy Father the best possible counsel. And in a certain way, no less for the causes of saints. You want to understand fully the heroic virtue of these saints, the possible miracles that are attributed to those who are being considered for beatification or canonization. And here, once again, the Holy Father is looking to us for counsel, and it's a big responsibility. But we're trained as canonists, at least those of us who have been involved in tribunals and in diocesan governance, we're trained to study matters and to make a prudential judgment. And so there's a certain preparation for it, but you never lose the sense of the gravity of it and of the need to keep yourself always alert. You can't become, how should we say, careless about these matters, but you need to give each case the fullest possible attention.
And a warm thanks and congratulations there to Cardinal-designate Raymond Burke. You can hear part two of my interview with him in next Tuesday's program, November 23rd. Do tune in then.